Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Cash That. This is your host, Joe Delera, and I finally have my guy, producer Corey, back. And just for you guys, this episode, once again, is brought to you by our good friends at Props.Cash. Props.Cash is the absolute best tool in the business. They hooked us up with this cool shirt. I think I might have worn it the last episode, but I just wore it again today because I love this shirt. It's so comfortable, honestly. I don't know if they sell them, but like, you guys should definitely get them. I'm going to try to make some Cash That merch. I think with the same branding because I like how it fits. It's pretty nice. So stay on the lookout for that. Anyway, though, props.cash, best tool in the business. You got the hits rates, you got the green charts, the red charts, what have you. The best part about this is coming up, one of my favorite features of props.cash is that you can actually filter out regular season versus playoffs. And I think that that's so, so important because the rotations change, you see different things, and you can get that all at your fingertips on both your computer and on your phone. With for 25% off your first month with code DELERA25. So when you guys get that app, you're going to be able to tell because the playoffs start in just 1 week. The play-in tournament starts April 16. You are going to have that at your fingertips to be able to determine what the differences in the rotations are. Is there something a little bit different there? Do they see different minutes in different circumstances? Do they do one thing more than another? Do they rebound all of a sudden a little bit better? Those are going to be all things that you're going to have at your fingertips. And once again, you can get that for 25% off your first month with code DELERA25. Now, producer Corey, you know, it's been a minute since you've been back here, so it's good to see you.
I'm back.
I think we just have to have a quick funeral before we get into the NBA. I know you're wearing your Devil's hat.
Yeah, I'm going to just give a quick eulogy. It was never our year. We were down, battered, bruised, broken, mostly playing injured. And I'm just happy to see that there may not be some long lasting injuries. It looks like everybody will be healthy by the start of next year. And just remind yourself how young this team is. It's going to be okay. The only good thing is now I don't have to like painfully watch any more games because there's a slight chance we might get into the playoffs. It's over. The Devils are out. Fade the fucking New York Rangers until your breath stops. They have no staying power. They're going to get blown out. It's going to be a Western team again. Book it.
Could you say that the ice is hot underneath the Rangers?
Yeah, they'll be slipping and sliding shortly. They choke. They cannot play in the playoffs.
Well, guys, we will keep you guys tuned throughout the NHL playoffs. Corey, do you have a pick right now since the Devils aren't in it? Who's winning the title this year?
Sexy pick?
Yeah. Hit it. Start it off. Not safe for work.
God damn it. Go with Colorado.
All right. That's fair. Go Avs. Go Avs.
It's not that sexy.
So guys, we are in the last week of the NBA regular season. Shit is so weird right now. The biggest news, though, and I want to start off with that, is Giannis Antetokounmpo left this game tonight or last night against the Boston Celtics with a hamstring injury or calf injury. The biggest issue here is obviously the time till the playoffs start. And we're not totally sure what the extent of this injury is right now. Adrian Wojnarowski said that he's going to be undergoing an MRI on his left calf. So it's a calf strain. And there does seem to be a level of concern. Doc Rivers said that's a good question. Hi, but he's Giannis. I think everyone probably feels the same way as I do right now. We're just going to hope for the best. Absolutely critically important injury for the Eastern Conference. The Bucks look like they are, and the Bucks have two really important games coming up against the Orlando Magic. The Bucks could honestly fall. I'm going to pull up the playoff probabilities report. So there's a couple different playoff probabilities reports that you can use. One of the ones that I am looking at, Milwaukee is second right now. They're the two seed. That's their projected number one spot. It is in the realm of possibility for them to drop all the way to the sixth seed. It's unlikely, but it's possible. They have a 20% chance at the 3, 19% chance at the 4, 10% chance, or really 11% chance at the at the five. So when we look at the NBA standings right now, they still, I think this is probably still needs to be adjusted a little bit, because both the Magic, I think, lost today. Did they win? We're recording this live. The Magic lost to the Rockets. I built a fire pit today, so like an in-ground one, and I am so exhausted right now. But we do have a very interesting circumstance for the Eastern Conference standings. So the Bucks, they clinched a playoff spot. The magic number for a lot of these teams are interesting right now. But with Milwaukee's got 31 losses. The Magic have 32 losses. The Knicks have 32 losses. The Cavs have 33. Pacers have 34. So at the time of this recording, that's kind of what the circumstances are. I do think that given the fact that Orlando lost, it's possible that the Bucks might have wound up clinching the two, just based on some tiebreakers that they have over Orlando, over the Knicks, and over the Cavs. But it's the tiebreaker scenario is always a little bit wonky. That being said, Orlando plays Milwaukee tomorrow night, or tonight. And it's a back-to-back for both teams. Orlando is a 1.5-point underdog. This is a pretty important game for Milwaukee. I generally lean Milwaukee here. I generally lean Orlando here. It's a much more important game for Orlando, who is jockeying for playoff positioning with both the Knicks, the Cavs, and the Pacers, and to a little bit of a lesser extent, the 76ers. The reason it's so important is, especially given the Giannis injury, this three seed is extremely important. If you can get into the three, not only are you going to likely avoid the Philadelphia 76ers and the Miami Heat in the first round, you are getting a situation where, you know, you're probably playing Cleveland or Indiana in the first round, and you get a second round matchup, which is not the Boston Celtics. Boston is going to have potentially a very difficult road, as like maybe about as hard as a road as you can out of the one, just given the fact that they could wind up facing the Philadelphia 76ers and Joel Embiid. Super, super impactful return for Joel. We'll kind of get into that in a little bit. But when we're looking at this game, I do like Orlando. You can get them at +1.5. That's definitely something that I'm going to be locking in. I think the number just... I don't think the number really makes any sense at this juncture, given the fact that the level of concern for Giannis and the fact that they're going to just want to make sure that he is healthy for the stretch run of the playoffs. So I'm going to be looking at Orlando +1.5. From a player prop perspective, though, I did want to touch on what players have done without Giannis. So Dame obviously leads the team in scoring, 32.3 points per game, 8.3 assists per game in six games without Giannis. Bobby Portis is at 22.7 points per game, 10.7 rebounds per game. He's actually somebody that I think I would prefer in this matchup. I know that the Magic are a little bit of a tougher matchup for bigs, but I do think that that's definitely a spot for Bobby Portis. Middleton, maybe he plays, maybe they just decide that they want to try to rest up given the fact that Giannis is kind of hurt. But that is definitely kind of the angles that I would be looking to play. Brooke Lopez doesn't really see a huge uptick in any type of way. So I definitely thought that was interesting. I really do think that the best kind of way to look at this is, for me, it's Bobby Portis or nothing. Maybe a little bit of Malik Beasley, but even then, in this matchup against the Orlando Magic, I don't really love it. To be honest, I think my favorite play, it depends on where we come out on Dame if Giannis is out. But given what Orlando can do to guards, I think that this line, if they give us a 30-something line for Dame, I'm definitely going to be looking for an under. It'd be an under or nothing for me. I think that this is a very, very tough matchup for guards against the Orlando Magic with Jalen Suggs, kind of at the point of attack. So that's definitely the spot that I would be looking for in that game. One of the other things that I wanted to touch on was rotations have gotten really bizarre. And when we look at, say, the Boston Celtics, right? So the Celtics have absolutely nothing to play for. And when we look at what they've started to do, they've kind of tried to avoid They've tried to avoid like sitting all of their guys. And a large reason for that is they don't, you know, they don't want to run into any of the issues with the NBA with, you know, sitting players for no reason, in like that load management type of policy. So that's definitely something that they're trying to be cognizant of. And I think like a little bit like respectful of. At the same time, they're so far out in front. They've clinched the number one overall seed. They have nobody even close to them in really any regard. What they've started to do is they've started to play different rotations. They've kind of started to play their starters to start the game. But then come the fourth quarter, they don't play anybody. And we've seen that yesterday. We hit the Bucks money line in the fourth quarter. That cashed against Boston. And in that game, we had Drew Holiday, 0 minutes. Jaylen Brown, 5 minutes. Jason Tatum, 5 minutes. Derek White, 1 minute. The rest of the rotation was comprised of Luke Kornet, 11 minutes. Sfi Mihaluk, 7 minutes. O'Shea Brissett, 7 minutes. Peyton Pritchard, 12. And Sam Hauser, 12. So when we're looking at Boston, I think that there's going to be some advantageous spots coming up for you to be able to play some of these fourth quarter money lines. So their schedule coming up, they have the Knicks, the Hornets, and the Wizards. I'm fascinated to see what this line is against the Knicks, especially considering the fact that the Knicks need the game. New York, I think I'd be pretty interested in taking that game just anyway, given the fact that Boston really has nothing to play for and New York does. I also think that if we kind of get a similar line, the fourth quarter line for the Knicks is absolutely something that I would be wanting to take. It's going to be even more interesting though against the Hornets and the Wizards, who they close the season out against, because they almost have to still make Boston a favorite unless they rule their players out in advance. The one thing here is maybe Boston will sit some guys like they sat Kristaps Porzingis. Maybe they'll sit like one guy per game, but it still shouldn't be enough to change the power rating, especially against the Hornets and the Wizards, to kind of like affect that. So definitely like the fourth quarter, I think if they're going to continue to play their guys to start the game, to try to, you know, keep them fresh, whatever, maybe you can even get a little bit better odds. Like if you parlay it in terms of like Boston first half, fourth quarter money line of like the Hornets or the Wizards. So there's definitely going to be some creative spots to look for there. And I think that it's something you can take a look at for other teams that have clinched their playoff positioning. That could be Chicago. It could be Atlanta. It could be, depending on the way this kind of shakes out, it could be Milwaukee. It could be, you know, Denver, Minnesota, whatever. Like there could be some opportunities where we know like, all right, like they're starting their guys, but maybe they won't finish the game as intended. Like maybe they just want to play them a little bit to kind of keep them fresh. So just something to be looking out for, just an angle that I kind of found for this Boston, like for what Boston was doing, because they kind of did it a couple games in a row. So I wasn't really guessing. It was something that I had observed. So, but it's definitely something that you guys can kind of take a look out for as well. Now, when we're looking at the rest of the slate, there are definitely a couple like really interesting spots. We don't have a lot of player props out right now, and I think a lot of that has to do with the back-to-backs, which is really annoying, but they did it because of the college championship game. When we look at the Tuesday or the Wednesday slate, actually, cool news. The Grizzlies, they're 16.5-point underdogs, 17.5 is on some books. I will be calling this game on BetStream again. So I'm going to be with Brendan Glasheen and Sean Little, two of our good friends over there. And I will be live. So if you guys got that free league pass subscription when we got that Jason Tatum thing where we voted on his shoes for the All-Star game, tune in. I'm going to be live. We'll be calling the game, giving out our best bets for that. We'll be looking in on a couple other games. So it should be a really good time. It's the last one of the season. And, you know, I really do enjoy it. It's kind of nice to do it live, and it's pretty fun. It's a good opportunity. So that game, we've seen some weird stuff with Memphis. We've seen some weird stuff with Cleveland. The spread is sky high. And the thing about these teams, like these really bad teams, is teams, like organizations tank. Players don't tank. So the individual players that are playing right now for Memphis, like they are trying as hard as they can. And when we look at what the Grizzlies have you know, have kind of done. They lost today to the San Antonio Spurs, but G.G. Jackson played 28 minutes, Brandon Clark, 27 minutes, Trey Jameson, 30 minutes, Jordan Goodwin, monster game, 36 minutes, 14 points, 7 boards, 10 points, 19 boards, 5 assists. That's a monster game. I saw our friend Steve Keach kind of sprinkle on triple-double a little bit. That's definitely something that might be fun to bet on in this spot against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So definitely be kind of on the lookout for some Jordan Goodwin props, but Scottie Pippen Jr. as well, 32 minutes. So you're seeing a lot of dudes like really try to hustle. Like it's a G League squad overall, but at the same time, they are really trying to hustle. They are trying to earn time in a rotation, and they are trying to keep these games close. So I think the 16.5, 17.5, like, sure, Cleveland should in theory cover it, but Cleveland also just has not looked particularly good recently as well. So, it still might wind up being a tough game, even with a rest advantage. For the rest of these games, we're looking at the Raptors. The Raptors and the Nets. The Raptors are 10-point underdogs to Brooklyn. Toronto's been really bad. RJ Barrett, I bet on him last night, under 5.5 assists because Emmanuel Quickley was out. We'll see if Quickley's out again. Barrett only had 4. I would probably be looking at that again as well. It's probably a look that I would try to, you know, that I would consider. And just another game that I don't have like a huge interest in betting overall. But there might be a couple player props that pop later in the day. It's hard to gauge right now. We don't have them. The Mavericks have gotten to be bigger favorites against the Miami Heat. This opened at -1. This has gone up to 3.5 at some books, -4 some other places. I do like Dallas in this spot. One of the things about Miami, they do tend to stay home. They play a lot of zone. It's difficult to get into the paint because of the way Bam Adebayo plays and like just how strong he is. This is a back-to-back spot for Miami. This is a very tough matchup for them, and I think they might struggle a bit dealing with both Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. So this is taking immediate action on the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas has been one of the absolute best teams in the NBA. Luka's averaging a triple-double since the All-Star break, as he's, you know, it seems like MVP is pretty locked up, given the fact that Jokic dominated in the straw poll by Tim Bontemps. But I do think that this is a good spot for Dallas. I would definitely be looking to take the Mavericks. For me, it's the Mavericks or nothing. Continuing down the line, we have the Hornets and the Hawks. The Hawks lost a heartbreaker to Miami in double overtime. So that's another reason to bet Dallas. Miami just played a double overtime game. Just really, really rough schedule spot for them. It's just never ideal to have to do that and then go and play another game. So for Atlanta, it's also tough against Charlotte. Charlotte, not particularly good. Charlotte kind of got there. Charlotte's just ready for the offseason. They got their shit handed to them by the Dallas Mavericks, who scored 130 points on them. But at the same time, the Hornets just continue to trot out their guys, and they continue to just kind of to try to perform as best that they can. You know, they've kind of gotten some good minutes from Miles Bridges, who's trying to earn a contract, and Brandon Miller has looked excellent during his rookie season. I do think that this line might be a little long. I think the +12 is probably where I'd want to go on the Hornets in this game. So that's, I think that would be the angle if you were betting on anything. The Hornets have played particularly slow, and I think that has a level of concern for some of the pace type of issues here. Jalen Johnson assists has been really good. DeJounte Murray finally got his elusive triple-double in this fucking double overtime game against the Miami Heat of all teams. So definitely a spot that I'm kind of considering there. Looking forward, we have one of Victor Wembanyama's last games against of the year, and we have him against Chet Holmgren. I am fascinated to see what this line comes out at. I don't think that they've ruled him out, even though it's back-to-back. I feel like they won't, given the fact that I think he's going to really want to play against Chet. Victor has been awesome versus Chet. Let's check this. Let me pull up the real stats for you. So in 3 games this season, Wemby has averaged 20 points, 13 boards, 4.3 assists, and he's kind of gotten better each game. First game, 8 points, 12 boards, 2 assists, 0 for 3 from 3, 2 blocks. Second game, 24 points, 12 boards, 4 assists, 4 blocks, 0 for 3 from 3. Last game, 28 points, 13 boards, 7 dimes, 2 steals, 5 blocks, 5 for 7 from 3. I think when we look at that, Wemby's been awesome. I think this might be a spot to maybe fade his points. I know that he likes to go to war with Chet, and I think that this is kind of a spot where Oklahoma City is just going to be looking for a win more so than anything. But I do think that it might be – that might have been like a little bit of like a high variance game or a high outcome game. Chet is still probably one of the better defenders that you can have for Wemby, given his length, given his versatility, given his quickness. And 5 for 7 from three is incredible numbers, even for Victor. So I do think that maybe, depending on what the points line is, this could be an under if we get like a really high spot, like a 27.5 or something like that, just given the matchup. I know Wemby kind of gets up for these games, but that I think that that might just be a touch too high, especially given the back-to-back. For the next game that we have on the slate, we've got two really important games. We have the Suns and the Clippers, and we have the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. This game is significantly more... Let's talk about the Suns and the Clippers. This game is significantly more important for the Suns. However, what I think is interesting is that the Clippers sat out James Harden on Tuesday night, and I'm curious to see if they wind up playing him on... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Harden is not going to play. What am I looking at here? Are they playing back-to-back days? Oh, that's something. So, totally missed. This is something. So, the Clippers are playing back-to-back games. I thought I was looking at, like, the wrong day of the week. The Clippers are playing back-to-back games against the Suns. The Clippers are kicking their shit in right now. It's 53-20 in the second quarter, and James Harden didn't play in that game. They should win this game. They beat the Suns 37-10 in the first quarter. Holy God, this is insane. So. Hold on.
Mr. Professional.
I know. So, anyway. So, that is really
back to the shit kicking in?
They're just getting their shit kicked in. So, it's really quite the thing. Given that, when we look at this game, the Clippers should really I'm honestly a little surprised by what this result was. I'm curious to know if part of this has to do with the fact that the Clippers want to just kind of get into their rotations. I think this seems to be like a little bit of an anomaly to be winning by this much, especially given the back-to-back. I'm curious to know if the Clippers are going to wind up sitting anybody. I think this might like really cement them into the four. However, at the same time, I do think that there is like somewhat of a possibility that they want to continue to beat the Suns to send the Suns into the play-in tournament. You know, maybe this is a spot where the Clippers don't want to see the Suns. They want to continue to beat them, test out some rotational things, or force the Suns to show their hand for their own rotations to see what could happen. All right, so there was a little bit of a technical difficulty there, and the technical difficulty is that my 9 months pregnant wife FaceTimed me twice. I was like, are you in labor? Like, what is going on right now? And it wasn't that she was in labor. What it was that she needed some help getting into bed. So it's all good. We manage this. Everything is fine. But I was a little bit distracted.
Let the people know, did you reach for the go bag?
Oh, dude, the go bag's upstairs, so it's next to the bed. I was ready though. I was like, man, like I need all this shit. I was like, I need to shower.
It's good. The reflexes of fatherhood are ready. Good.
This is something else. So I apologize for that. I think that might contribute to why I had no idea what the fuck was going on with the Clippers and the Suns. So if you're getting to that, if you got that part, like you can understandably see why it was not my best self at the moment. But when we're looking at this, I think the most important thing is that the Clippers might be looking at this saying like, hey, let's see if we can force the Suns to show us a couple things. Let's see if we can force the Suns to show like what their rotations might be, what they might do schematically in a matchup against us, against somebody else. Or they also might be saying, you know what? Let's put the Suns in the play-in. Like, we'd rather New Orleans be the sixth seed. We would rather push the Suns in the play-in. Maybe they get bumped by either the Kings, the Lakers, or the Warriors. Like, maybe you get that type of team with such elite star power out of the Western Conference. So that's definitely something that I could maybe see. I also just think that the Clippers are like a pretty bad matchup for Phoenix. A lot of wings, and the one thing that Ty Lue likes to do is go small, and it's very effective. And Zubac is actually surprisingly very solid as a big against, you know, against these other bigs, like these traditional bigs like a Nurk, or, you know, even he's decent against like an Anthony Davis even. So those are definitely a couple things that I think are worth considering in this matchup. I know it's going to be another game in this back-to-back spot. We'll see if James Harden plays or not, but it's definitely something to look at. The game is obviously going to be much more important for the Suns, given the fact that they are getting their doors blown off right now at halftime. So definitely a spot to consider. This last game, I think, is fascinating, right? So we have like essentially like a three-way tie for the number one seed and also for the Northwest Division. So I'm pulling it up. The Nuggets have actually lost the season series so far to the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves have won two of the games. They won their first matchup back in November. Denver won the second, 115-112 on March 19th. And then Minnesota won 111-98 on March 28th. One of the spots that I think is most interesting here is that you have to wonder, because Denver sat Aaron Gordon in this back-to-back. This is a back-to-back for both teams. Denver is going to be, I think they're at home. Denver is at home. So they're 5.5-point favorites at home. The big spot here to me, the one that I think is most interesting, is that Jokic has dominated in these matchups. All three games that he's played, he's averaging 30.7 points per game. I think that is something that's interesting, especially because of the matchup against Rudy Gobert. Against Gobert, Jokic has played like pretty well, but it's still a matchup that he really does have to like work for. Interestingly enough, does not have a ton of high rebounding games. He does not have a ton of high assist games. And even his scoring, he's generally been under, outside of last game, he had 32. But in these matchups against Gobert, he's been under 30. He's really been under 20. He's at 25. The last time that he scored over 30 against him in a head-to-head spot was January 31st of 2021. One of these games, the game that the Nuggets won, Gobert did not play. So I think that that's absolutely notable. I'll probably be looking at a Jokic under potentially his rebounds in this spot, which is always terrifying, especially in a game that, you know, he might want to actually try to win, you know, to try to lock in that one seed. But it's definitely a concerning spot. On the flip side, Gobert has not been particularly good in this matchup either. They've both kind of like neutered each other, and it's kind of forced other players to really find success. I do think that what is going to be particularly interesting is the matchup of Anthony Edwards, because without Karl Anthony Towns, this is probably a game where Minnesota could really use that help. Because instead of Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr. trying to have to deal with Karl Anthony Towns, Naz Reid is great. Like, we love Naz, but at the same time, he does not have the type of scoring pedigree that Karl Anthony Towns does. And, you know, he's not feared as that type of scorer. That might allow you to throw Aaron Gordon at Anthony Edwards, which makes this matchup much more difficult for Ant. And what I think is particularly interesting about that is Ant is the guy that you would think you're like, oh, he's got to have a big game. When he's played Denver, he has played pretty well. 25 points, 30 points, 24 points this season. However, this is, I think, a different, I think this is a differently situated situated circumstance. I know that Karl Anthony Towns has missed quite some time here. But at the same time, I think that this line might just be high given the nature of what the matchup is. When we look at the spot, when we consider just like how important the game is, a lot of times we see these lines get inflated because it's like, oh, it's a playoff game. Oh, it's a playoff atmosphere. I do just think that in this particular matchup, like the volume might be there, which is kind of like what scares me away from like an under. But I do think that my lean overall in this type of game would be to go under on Ant. I think it's going to be a very tough matchup. I think that Denver might throw a couple different things at them. I think that Denver wants to be the one seed. I don't see why they wouldn't want to be the one seed, given the fact that their home court is so valuable. It's one of the most valuable in all of sports, given the altitude. So I do think this is a game where Denver might play it a little bit differently and try to throw, you know, maybe a couple different looks at the Timberwolves to see if they can kind of throw them off balance to a degree and try to, you know, keep them, maybe get them to show something that they want to do or want to try to do in the playoffs. And I think that that's always like particularly important. So I would think of this game, it's obviously important for the standings. It's important for the one seed. It's important for home court throughout the entire playoffs. However, I do think that it's a little bit more of a spot, especially for a team like Denver, to say like, all right, Chris Finch, are you going to show us something that you maybe, you know, you guys might want to try to use or learn from in the playoffs? So I'm definitely going to be on the lookout for that because it might be telling moving forward as we go towards the NBA playoffs and the NBA postseason. So that's the Wednesday slate. I wish I had a couple more player props for you guys, but that'll be out on, we'll put those out on Twitter. We'll put those out in the Action app, for you all tomorrow. The one thing that I did want to touch on is a little bit of scheduling. So the NBA playoffs, right now, let me pull this one up. We have the play-in tournament, April 16th through the 19th. The first round of the playoffs starts on April 20th. Then the conference semifinals start on May 6th and 7th. Conference finals start May 21, 22. June 6th, the NBA finals begin. The week of the 29th, so the day we would normally record on April 30th, I think it's highly unlikely that I will be doing the episode. We might try to get a guest in to do something. Producer Corey might just go solo dolo, which could be crazy. But we will try to figure out something. I do think that that's going to be an unlikely day for me, given the pregnant wife scenario, as you guys were interrupted with a little bit before. So we'll kind of,
God forbid Joe has a kid. It's playoffs.
God forbid. So we'll see what we can do there. But it is going to be fun. I am excited for the playoffs. Maybe we'll definitely do some extra guests. We'll try to do a couple extra episodes maybe. But we'll try to get as much good content out to you as we possibly can. But with that, producer Corey, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Joe.
Tell me more.
Great.
Tell me more.
I just finished watching a show that I'm about to recommend to these fellas and ladies. I think I recommended season one of this show a while back, and it took a bit of a long time to film season two. I'm talking about Tokyo Vice. It's incredible. Don't watch it while you're tired. It's a lot of subtitle reading. It's in Korean, Japanese, and English, so it's a lot of bouncing around.
I love that though.
But yeah, it's just a really good organized crime / journalist / detective story. It's awesome. I loved it.
It's fun.
Season two held up. Go watch it.
What's the name?
HBO
again?
Or Max or whatever the fuck. Tokyo Vice. Awesome.
I might have to dabble when I'm, you know, just.
Yeah, if you're gonna be just sitting on your hands idly waiting around for the next week or two,
it might be the move.
Might be something.
Could
to
be
watch.
The move. Yeah. Could be the move. Speaking
could
of which,
could be the move.
I love that TikTok account. Could be the move. Great TikTok account.
It's hilarious.
So definitely check it out. My recommendation is going to be there's a couple things. So I somehow have never watched Stranger Things. I'm currently watching it.
Where are you?
I'm in season 2, episode 3.
Okay.
So I'll keep you.
Let me know when you're done. We'll discuss. Yeah.
I'll keep you apprised.
I have thoughts.
I'm definitely enjoying it. Like it was one of those shows. I actually didn't start watching it because the first time I ever watched it or I turned it on, it was just dark. Like, I don't know what the settings were on my TV, but it was like dark and it just looked shit. And I was like, nope, not doing it. Not watching it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So I was like, I can't do it. Now, bigger TV, better setup. So I'm watching it and I'm definitely enjoying it. So going to recommend that if you haven't. I feel like I'm really late to that recommendation, but here we are. I also am going to recommend. So I have a flat tire in my car right now. I have to fix it. I had a different project that I was working on today. I built a fire pit. So that was a wild circle.
Not tire day.
Yeah, it wasn't tire day. But so I have
can't be
this
fixing a tire on fire pit day.
No, couldn't do that. Today was too nice. I had to do stuff outside and I probably should have taken the time to just do the tire. But here we are. I didn't do the tire, but I did build an entire fire pit. So that was sick. Two things about that. One for the tire, I'm going to recommend they sell these like portable tire inflators, like air compressors.
Oh, they're awesome.
And they're like, you can put them, they're like in this little bag, you can keep them in your car and they plug into like the electrical outlet, like not like the real plug, but like the car outlet. And you can inflate your tire. It's unbelievable. It's the best thing ever. Like,
do you remember the old ones that were like the size of a car battery?
Yes. Yes.
Like that was like the convenient thing for like 20 years. And then finally someone was like, hey, we figured it out.
Yeah.
This thing's the best. I agree.
That is
fully endorse this recommendation.
Like if you don't have one, honestly, like you should 100% get one because a lot of times like you get that flat tire and like, or like you notice it pops and you're like, oh, like it's a slow leak though. So it's like, you can kind of drive around on it for like a bit. Like you don't have to deal with it right away, but at least you can get out of whatever scenario you're at. Like there's nothing worse than, especially like I work in Newark. So it's awful. Like, no, you don't want to get stuck in Newark, but like I could inflate my tire in my parking deck and then drive out and like get out of there. I don't need to ask for a tow truck. I could drive it wherever I need to drive it to. Like I drive it to like a Costco tire center, like whatever. And they will handle
pretty good unless you shred it.
Yeah. So it's incredible. Like could not recommend something more. Another thing, this is more about equipment anyway. You know, you can rent like tools, like power tools at Home Depot. It's the best. Mm-hmm. I rented a tiller today, a Mantis tiller. And let me tell you,
did you have fun with that?
It really worked great. I was like, cause I was gonna have to dig and I was like, fuck, I don't want to do this. Like there's so much grass. I'm going to make a mess, like whatever. It's going to be on all uneven. Instead, got myself a Mantis tiller, rented it for 4 hours. It was like $40. Put some sweat equity into it. And let me tell you, it came out great. We'll try to get some pictures up on the socials for you guys to see it, but I'm trying to tweak a couple last minute things, but, highly recommend that. Rent your tools. You don't always need to buy them. It's a lot of times like you're like, oh, well, like it's cheaper. You know, I only have to do this like 3 times. Like I will tell you what, I do not want to fucking build 3 more fire pits. This was it. So I don't know if I'm ever.
I'd be concerned if you did.
Yeah. Like I don't want to do it again.
Joe, hey, buddy, we have to have a talk. You have too many fire pits in your backyard.
Your whole yard is a fire pit.
You can't be doing that.
Like fucking
you have
Mordor
a kid. This
out
is a
there.
Hazard. What are you doing?
It's a nightmare. So. So those are my recommendations. Rent your power tools, build a fire pit, and get a like a tire pressure, like an air compressor, like a portable air compressor for your tires.
There you go. That's the word. You got there.
Pregnant brain.
I was wondering how many different ways you could come up with like a phrase that means what an air compressor is.
Yeah.
But you eventually just used air compressor.
Dude,
you got there.
One of the benefits of you not being on the show is that I have to talk to fill space. Because I just realized today when I was talking to producer Corey that you could pause the video and then actually restart at like the same point. I thought that you couldn't do that.
Which is going to save me a ton of time down the road.
Yeah, like I had no idea. So I just found that out today. So maybe now moving forward, like if I don't know what I'm talking about, I won't ramble as much and I'll just pause. But, you know, we'll do what we can. Get your air compressors, rent your tools, but I will tell you one tool that you need to buy and you need to subscribe to, and that's props.cash. Props.cash is the absolute best player prop tool in the market. It's one that you need to have yourself. You have to have it. You're not renting it. You're not getting it from somebody else. You need to use your own, get your own, and you can get it for 25% off with code DELERA25. Get those regular season and playoff splits and be prepared for the NBA playoffs that are starting next week. And with that, let's continue to cash that.